Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service at Beach Hill. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad you're here to worship with us today, and we invite you to come back any and every opportunity you can. I have quite a few announcements this morning, so if you'll bear with me as we go through these. First of all, I'd like to, as King noted this morning during class, I'd like to welcome Ms. Shirley Estes back with us, and Ms. Bobby Nunley, and Ms. Melrose. Glad to see all of you here and be able to worship with us here this morning. Several announcements concerning our teens and our young people. Parents, all 7 through 12th grade parents, please meet with Winston after services this morning at the front of the auditorium. So all parents, please see Winston this morning. And also concerning our teens, there will be no teen meals this week. Those participating in Lash the Leaders that are planning to go to convention, if you will, please make sure you see Libby this morning. She has an information packet that she would like to get to you concerning our hospitality room. This helps with the preparation of meals. Also, those participating in Songs of Praise, please be here at the building this afternoon at 4:30 in the Fellowship Hall this afternoon. So 4:30 for those participating in Songs of Praise. We want to congratulate Miss Lydia Grady, the wife of Benjamin, that was baptized into Christ in Alexandria, Virginia, this past Monday. We rejoice with her and her family. And also congratulate Miss Maddie Hall, the daughter of Nathan and Allison, was baptized this past Wednesday night. And they're here with us today as well. Those concerning our sick, I'm sure you've seen the board this morning. We have a very lengthy prayer list, but we also want to make a few updates. Don Moody was transferred to the hospital in Pontotoc to receive antibiotic treatment for an infected vertebrae. So we want to continue to remember Don, and then Miss Gail Winter and Tommy Simpson both have COVID at this time. Gail recovering at Tippah County Hospital, and Tommy is recovering at home. So let's continue to remember them. Miss Janet Key has asked that we would send birthday cards for Miss Evelyn Winter. Miss Winter will be 90 years old on March the 11th, and Janet would love to get her 90 birthday cards, and her address has been posted for where you need to send the cards. So for Miss Evelyn Winter. And also I have a card to read for Miss Kenny and Judy Butler to our young children, teenagers, coordinators, and parents. Well, we would love to say thank you for all you have done for us during the last few months, the Christmas caroling, Valentine's, along with the fruit baskets and Valentine's treats and the meal, we're all enjoyed so much. You all have a special place in our hearts, and thank you for keeping us in your prayers, Kenny and Judy Butler. As we begin our worship this morning, those who will be leading us, Michael Farese will be reading scripture, Ryan Simpson will be wording our opening prayer and our closing prayer by Graydon Grady. Appropriate time, Brother King will bring the lesson of the hour, and if you will, please view the video board or get a song book as Mo Grady leads us in our singing.
If you would, please get your song book number 501. Let's sing all three verses of number 501.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No, not so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Number 503. Let's sing all three verses of number 503. Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to rest above. While the light from the throne shines for you, let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. Road to the goal, burdens we must bear, but we have help from realms above. We receive courage new when we kneel in prayer. Let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength cometh from above. As we labor and wait, we must all be true. Let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. Number 554. After this song, we'll have our scripture reading and prayer. Let's sing all three verses, please.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls, me, and my heart is right, I will live. If my heart is right, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Our scripture reading this morning will come from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we're thankful for today. We're thankful for this pause in our lives as we begin a new week. We come together to study your word, to sing songs of praises from our hearts to you, and to focus our minds and thoughts and hearts and feelings on your word. We're thankful for our Bible classes and those who have taught, and those who have rotated on for this spring semester, and those who continue to stay in that rotation and to teach our young people. We're so thankful for every student, both young and old, as we assemble to build upon our knowledge and faith and love for you, that we may be able to teach others, to have the influence on others that we should, to resist the schemes that the devil proposes to us, that we can identify what is right and what is wrong. And it seems that the world wants to blur those lines these days, but we pray that we'll all be diligent and faithful and kind when we discuss this with others or make decisions of what to do and what not to do. But we let your word decide that for us, not our hearts or our feelings, but what your word says. We're thankful for those who have taught us and those who teach us, and for King who preaches and teaches us from this pulpit, from Winston, who instructs our young people, and all of us, each member, as we study each day, and we become stronger and more faithful. And when we do this, we become stronger and faithful for each other. If we remain faithful, we pray for each other to remain faithful. Our congregation will be strong, and we'll do a lot of good. And we pray for this, that this is in our minds. As we think about each other, we think about people that we can go and visit and reach and encourage and help. All these things help us to be better servants, more focused on others than ourselves. We're thankful for this opportunity and the design of being servants, and that's what it does. We follow your word. It builds us up and it builds others. We're thankful for this plan. We're thankful for your son. The blessings, all these things flow through him. We stand in the love of our Savior, Jesus. And we pray that we live our lives in a way that others can see that we love you, that we love him. We're thankful so much for Ms. Shirley Estes, who's able to be here with us today. We're thankful for Ms. Bobby Nunley. We love these people. We love so many that have been gone for so long. We pray that more will be able to come as they get healthier and things get better and obstacles are removed from their lives. But we're thankful for this. They encourage us by them being here today. We're also encouraged greatly by Lydia and by Maddie's decision to obey the gospel. The power of the word, the simple word, your plan. We don't need to add anything or spice it up. We know that it works and it's powerful when it comes in contact with sincere and good hearts. And we're thankful for this evidence through their lives and through their decisions, for the great influences from their families on their lives, but ultimately their decision in their heart to do and obey your word and become a Christian, to put on Christ. We're thankful. That encourages us too. We pray that you help us in this world as we see there's so much confusion and destruction and hurt and death. And it's just the ways of evil, and it's the way of greed and power. We pray that safety or that peace will come soon. We know that there are Christians across the world that are affected by this, and we hurt for them. We pray for them all. We pray for the people that they will have peace, that the word may be preached once again. We hope that they're still staying strong and faithful. It helps us to understand that things can change and persecution can come in different ways. And it may be sickness. It may be other things that come to our country. But we're so thankful for peace and for those who serve and defend the freedom and give us the opportunity to be here like we are this morning without worrying about anything. We're thankful for that blanket of freedom that we have. God, we pray that that will continue. But for those people, we're hurting, and we pray for them. Be with us as we continue to give you worship this morning, that what we're giving you is the best and the honest and sincere appreciation and thankfulness from our hearts as we sing together and we listen attentively to your word preached and we take of the Lord's Supper, that we remember that great sacrifice and where we once were in darkness, but through the sacrifice of our Savior, where we are now in your love and in your grace and mercy. And we pray that we will stay there in our obedience. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 226. Let's sing the first and last verse of 226. Would you stand, please, as we sing together?
Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below, when in his grace would not receive? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why fill the garden's dreadful dross? Why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so.
Sing, please. Our invitation song will be number 491. Number 491. Brother King.
It is with much appreciation that we say to these men that we're thankful for the gospel thoughts of your Bible reading, the prayer, and these songs. And we are indeed grateful to see another good crowd present this morning. We know that others are watching and listening by way of Zoom, and we welcome them also. The Apostle Paul, at the beginning of his letter to the Galatians, leads us to think about a great rescue operation. It is in the fourth verse of that first chapter that he speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Every part of that expression is significant in itself. But the combined statement of all those parts, all that Paul is saying in those two verses, causes us to think about a gospel truth that we need to understand for our benefit and for the glory of God, as Paul says. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a word of thanksgiving that God has mounted this operation of rescue. And as Christians, we are beneficiaries of that and have hope of further blessing because of this operation of God. The word that Paul uses here to deliver us out of something is a word that's used a few other times in the New Testament, and I want to call your attention to several instances of it in the book of Acts, not only as a background to what Paul is writing here in the use of the word in Galatians 1 and 4, but it gives some vividness to what Paul is talking about. In Luke's narrative in the book of Acts in chapter 7, he has the record of Stephen's speech in Jerusalem. And in verse 10, he calls our attention to the sons of Jacob. He speaks of them as the patriarchs. And he says that those men, those patriarchs, that is the brothers of Joseph, were moved with jealousy against him and sold him into Egypt. And then Stephen says, and God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that Joseph was elevated from the prison to the high position of governor of all of Egypt and over the house of Pharaoh. What a deliverance God gave to Joseph. God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions. That's the same word that Paul used in Galatians 1 and 4 when he said that our Lord Jesus Christ had that as the purpose of his death for our sins, to deliver us out of this present evil world. And then later in that same speech in Acts chapter 7, verse 34, the word appears again. And the scene that Stephen brings to the attention of his hearers was that scene in the wilderness of Mount Sinai when Moses saw a flame of fire in a bush, and it was a strange sight, and he drew near to get a closer look at it, and the voice of the Lord came out of the fiery bush and said to Moses, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And he told him to loose his shoes from his feet. The ground on which you stand is holy. And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. And then God said, I am aware of the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And so now, Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt. Now come, I will send you. God's purpose in coming to send Moses was a purpose of delivering his people out of their afflictions. The same word again. And then in Acts, the 12th chapter, in verse 11, a third time in the book of Acts, this word appears. And the setting here is the imprisonment of Peter in Jerusalem. And Herod, who was the grandson of the great Herod, this Herod of that same family and wicked like his grandfather and many others in that family, had imprisoned Peter after he had killed the apostle James. And after the Passover, he probably intended to do the same thing with Simon Peter because it pleased some of the Jews. But the Lord had something to do with that in delivering Peter out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of all the peoples of the Jews, Acts 12 and verse 11. And Peter realized that. At first, the angel speaking to him and the releasing of Peter from the chains and guiding him out of the prison into the street, Peter thought that this was a vision, didn't know it was true. But then he said, now I know of a truth. The Lord has sent his angel to deliver me. And that's the same word. And then we come to Acts chapter 23. And the setting here is in Jerusalem again, much later, and Paul had come under the attack of some Jews in the temple, and they were beating him, and they were trying to kill him. And even when the Roman officer and the soldiers came down into the temple from the fortress and rescued Paul, they had to lift him up and bear him out, and the mob kept following, saying, away with him, which meant put him to death. This man's not fit to live. And so the Roman officer, later hearing about another plot against Paul's life, decided to send him to Caesarea to the Roman governor Felix. And Claudius Lysias, that Roman officer, wrote a letter. It's found in Acts chapter 23, in which he said that we rescued this man from the Jews who were trying to kill him. That's the same word. We rescued him. And then in Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul himself uses the word in the book of Acts, and he's making his speech before King Agrippa and Governor Festus. And he's telling about that day when, as Saul of Tarsus, he was coming near Damascus, and outside the city on the road, Jesus of Nazareth encountered him. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute, but rise, stand on your feet. For this is the purpose that I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, both of the things that now are occurring and you're seeing and hearing me, and in the future when I will appear to you to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, that you may open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among all them that are sanctified by faith in me. God promised Paul that. He didn't promise him a life of no suffering, but he promised him that he would deliver him from the people, that is, from the Jews and from the Gentiles. The Lord was sending Paul out into a dangerous world with this mission of the gospel. And Paul was made aware of that. There would be those both among the Jews and the Gentiles who would oppose him. But God would preserve his life during the time that God had given him for the fulfillment of this mission. I will deliver you, he said. Now, those five instances from the book of Acts, as I said, they give some historical color to this word that Paul uses here concerning you and me. When he says that Jesus gave himself for our sins. Observe that closely. He doesn't say, as he does in some other passages, that he gave himself for us. Instead, he focuses here upon something about that death that he wants us to think about. He gave himself for our sins. John the Apostle mentions that that death was for the sins of the whole world, but Paul is emphasizing here our part in that and the blessing we have received from that death. It was for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. We were a part of that, this present evil world, in sin. But he gave himself for our sins. And we have responded to that good news. And one of the blessings of that gospel deliverance is that he delivers us out of this present evil world. Paul had no illusions about the spiritual, moral character of the world. We gave some acknowledgement to that this morning in our prayer. And there is much, much, much more that could be said. And Paul had much more to say about it in other places in his writings. He could speak to the Philippians a word of encouragement about their responsibility and how God had blessed them, that they must now be children of God without blemish, blameless and harmless, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you are seen as lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and following. Peter on Pentecost Day could say to his hearers, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Acts 2 and verse 40, Jesus could speak of the unfaithfulness of the people of his own day, place, and time, calling it a generation adulterous, unfaithful to God, sinful. And so Paul here could speak about this present evil world. He wasn't talking about a bad old world 2,000 years ago. He's talking about the condition of the world in all times and places because of sin. It's this present evil world. God didn't make it that way, but sin has made it that way. And Jesus Christ on the cross gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. Now, here is a truth then that we are to understand. And it should have an influence upon our thought and conduct. But what did Paul mean by this deliverance out of this present evil world? When is this accomplished in the lives of God's people? And how is it accomplished in their lives? Answers to these questions can be found right here in the Epistle to the Galatians. We do not have to go far afield. In other writings of Paul and the words of Jesus elsewhere in the New Testament, let us think about it in three stages. There's, first of all, the deliverance out of this present evil world that comes when a person responds to the gospel in faith and baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Paul addresses his readers there who are Christians, and he said, you are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. We've heard mention made this morning about two who have recently responded to the gospel in this way, and we indeed rejoice with them. And this is something that is a part of our lives if we have responded to the gospel this way, a part of the history of our lives. And we understood it to be a beginning in life in Christ. And here's the first stage of that operation of God in delivering us out of this present evil world. Before that, Paul's readers had an identity that was to be understood in other ways. But now that they have responded to the gospel in faith and baptism, he speaks of them as God's children. And they have been baptized into Christ, so that that is their spiritual state. They're in Christ. And they have put on Christ as one would put on a garment, so that they're identified with him. These are beautiful expressions, and they're full of power and meaning to every person who is a Christian and contemplates them and appreciates what God has done for him because he responded to the gospel in faith and baptism. And Paul gives emphasis to this trust in God through Christ and this action that comes out of this trust because it was decisive in their lives, and what was changed in them was their spiritual condition or state. Baptism does not change the character of a person. It does not immediately remove all old habits and practices in word, deed, or thought. It takes time to change that, and that leads us to think about the second stage of this operation of God to deliver us out of this present evil world. Paul speaks of that also in this Galatians letter, and he speaks of it as walking by the Spirit. In chapter 5 and verse 16, but I say, speaking to Christians, these are people who have responded to the gospel in faith and baptism that brought them into Christ. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. And then later he says in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, that is, we have our life by the Spirit, then by the Spirit, let us also walk. What does Paul mean by the Spirit?
He means by that which the Spirit gives us. He gives us an understanding of the gospel as it applies to the lives of Christians. To live, to walk by the Spirit is to be in response to what God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Paul's giving instruction about that in this very part of the letter. It means that in our lives, we're not a people characterized by the works of the flesh, verses 19 through 21, but rather by the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 and 23. Here's the influence of the gospel in the hearts and the lives of God's people, so that if they're led by the Spirit, they're not under the law. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us to the law of Moses, to live under the law, the old covenant with God, but it does lead us to the gospel. And that's why we responded to it in faith and baptism. That was the instruction of the Holy Spirit. But in living the Christian life, that same Spirit guides us into the way that we are to live, and thus is called walking by the Spirit. Observe also that it's identified in another way in verse 24, as we follow the influence of God's Spirit. They that are of Christ Jesus. When we were baptized into Christ, we came into an identity spiritually of belonging to Him, identified with Him. We put on Christ. Paul's referring to that again when he says in verse 24 of chapter 5, and they that are of Christ Jesus, that is, they belong to Christ. They've crucified the flesh with the passions and lusts, the sinful desires thereof. This is a way of referring to the continuing response to the gospel that we know as repentance. Just as we continue in faith, we continue in a repentant attitude and response to the gospel of Christ, and our lives are changed. This is the second stage of God's operation to deliver us out of this present evil world. We might remark here very briefly that Paul is speaking of the same thing in Romans 12 and verse 2, when he writes to Christians and says to them, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so this is a part of the deliverance out of this present evil world that's ongoing in our lives as Christians. Though we live in a world that's apart from God in its sinfulness and darkness, we may live as God's people, delivered from the sinful dominion and corrupting ways and thoughts of this world. How can we do that? By the power of God through the gospel. And then there is a third stage of this deliverance out of this present evil world, because we may ask, well, what does it come to? If we believe in Christ Jesus and thus believe in God also, if we turn to God through Christ and we're baptized into Christ and put on Christ, clothe ourselves with Christ, and we walk by the Spirit, we live by the influence of the gospel, we are a people who crucify these things that are of the world and are sinful because we belong to Christ, where is it coming to? Does it all just come to the grave? This decision and this struggle in life, does it just come to a cemetery? Paul says in chapter 5 and verse 5, for we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. And that will be the third and final stage of God's deliverance of His people out of this present evil world. Look at that statement carefully. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit, that is by the guidance, the revelation of God's Spirit. And what has He told us? He's told us that there is an end to this present evil world, but for the blessing eternally of God's people, it will be a day of deliverance into eternal blessing. We wait for that by faith. We trust in God who has given His promises, and thus we wait for the hope of righteousness. It's God who's given us this hope, and the righteousness here refers to the work of God, His righteous work through Jesus Christ to deliver us out of this present evil world. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul has this in mind when he refers to it in another way. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yes, we may reap a harvest of good things spiritually in this life by doing what is right. And we see the blessings of that harvest in spiritual things in our lives and the lives of others. We give praise and thanks to God for that. But that's not a harvest that comes to an end in the graveyard. No, this is a harvest that brings us all the way to God in eternity. Paul speaks of it here as eternal life. And that's the harvest we want to reap. So how does God deliver us out of this present evil world? He does so when we respond to the gospel and faith and baptism. He makes us his people, God's children, no longer identified by the sinfulness of this world and its ways and thoughts. And he delivers us all through the Christian life as we continue to respond to him and walk by the Spirit of God and think and live by the Spirit of God, following God's teaching and instruction for our lives. And then there will come the day when he will deliver us finally out of this present evil world. In verse 14 of chapter 6, Paul said, but far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Here is that understanding of the death of Christ and its full impact upon a Christian who understands. I no longer can be identified with the sinful thoughts and ways of this world, but with my Lord and Savior who died that death for my sins, that he might deliver me out of this present evil world. Have you responded to that gospel? Would you do so this morning, coming even now as we stand and sing?
For partaking of the Lord's Supper, number 922.
My Jesus, I love of thee, I know thou art mine for thee.
My Jesus is mine. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I'm going to read just a few verses as recorded by John, chapter 17, of Jesus' prayer to the Father just hours before he was to be betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified for our sins. Listen to these powerful words. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself and with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Would you bow with me? Our dear Father, we thank thee for this bread that through our faith so fittingly represents Christ's body on Calvary's cross. As we partake of this, help us to do so in a pleasing manner unto thee. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, let us bow. Our dear Father, we have humbly assembled here this morning to commemorate and remember Christ's shed blood on Calvary's cross. We're thankful for this fruit of the vine. We're thankful for what it represents. We're thankful for his love for us, that he shed his blood for us and for our sins. As we partake of this, help us to remember what was done for us on Calvary's cross. For this is our prayer in his name. Amen. Having concluded the Lord's Supper, let us again pray and thank God for the offering today. Our dear Holy Father in heaven, as we humbly bow before thee, we realize that we are so blessed in so many ways. It's our privilege to be here this morning in person to worship you, the only true living God, partake of these emblems, sing praises to you, and to hear the prayers offered up, and scriptures read, and your word preached this very day. We're also thankful that it's our opportunity and it's our privilege as your children to bring back as we have been prospered. We're thankful for these funds. We're thankful for what we can do with these funds to further the gospel around the world. We ask that you bless this. Help us to always to be the kind of people that we should be. Forgive us now of all of our sins, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know we're all aware of the leader of Russia attacking the Ukraine people. There are many Christians in Ukraine, and they are brothers and sisters in Christ. Many have fled the country over into the country of Poland. There's a congregation of the Lord in Church of Arkansas, the College Street Church, that are overseeing one of the congregations in Poland. They are assisting many of the people that have fled that country. And on behalf of the church here at Beach Hill, we have sent funds to the congregation in Searcy to assist in this effort. We do not know what the needs are of those people, but any way that we can help, that's our duty as Christians. We want to remember these people in our prayers on a daily basis and pray for them and for the success of the Ukraine people. Free country attacked by an evil person. But let's just remember all the people of Ukraine, especially those of our brothers and sisters.
As a closing song, let's sing number 256. We'll sing the first and last verse of 256. If you're visiting with us, and we do have visitors, please come back and worship with us whenever you can. And Maddie, once again, we're so proud of you being baptized into Christ. Let's stand as we sing the first and last verse, please.
Hear me when I call, O God. Righteousness, unto thee I come, in weakness and distress. Hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call. Hear my prayer, O God. I need thy cleansing power. Let me feel thee near each moment of each hour. Hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call.
Let us pray. Most kind and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us all get here safely, Lord, and learn more about you and fellowship with one another. Lord, at this time, we want to pray for those that are on our prayer list. Lord, we have a very lengthy prayer list. Pray that you be with those people that are on that, be with the doctors and nurses administering unto them. Lord, we also want to pray for the leaders of this country that they make the right decision. We also want to pray for people in the Ukraine. Keep your arm around them and keep them safe, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving us safe travel out here. We pray that you give us safe travel back and that we meet here at the next point in time. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross for the remission of our sins. Please forgive us of all our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Don.